Welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters. Day 105. Crazy beans. But here we are. Hello, Jonathan. Hello, Kim. Boy, were we busy last night. How are we all doing? Much cooler today, I think. Oh, Jonathan, it's been fabulous. I've still had the fan on the computer. 105, Simon, believe it or not. But the computer's quiet. Almost as quiet as Lola. But we've all got to be quiet right now because Mike's doing the news in the other studio. I was thinking, you know, 105 days. We've managed to redo the entire house. We now have two offices and a studio. And put the Christmas tree up. Whoa, I'm ahead of myself this year. Ooh, and I tell you what we did last night. Had a fabulous time on By Request. We have too much fun. We do. We have too much fun. Last night's was all about Kylie's backside. Don't ask. Jed's got a big thing for Kylie's backside. And he shared it with us. You'd think a backside was a backside, wouldn't you? Unless it was illuminated, of course. Which, as far as I know, it isn't. But then I haven't looked as closely as Jed, so maybe it is. Who knows? But we had a complete blast. We'd long decided that we would be doing something for the 4th of July. Lots of American songs. Whoa! We have had so many requests since last night. It's not even 24 hours yet. And I think we've filled about 2 hours. Everybody loves that idea. So it's going to be grand. I've got a bit of a spoiler. I quite fancied one of these military band things because my dad used to love it and my mum loved Sousa Marches. And there's a Sousa March called Semper Fi. So that might have to have an airing. And I've got about 57 versions of the national anthem as well. Do you know what's absolutely a shocking admission here? Sorry about this, Kim. Beyond the I think the first two lines, I'm not really that familiar with the words of the American National Anthem, which I will have to fix by next week. But I think we might start with that one. So, yeah, everybody's very keen on that, despite the fact that pubs are open next week. We've said you can take us with you. You know, we're portable on your phone, but we'll see how that goes. So Jonathan was hoping to decorate his flat during lockdown after 5 years. In your defence, Jonathan, I don't think you were allowed to buy a paintbrush. And don't you have a whole wall that's like glass? That helps. We did that with our extension. It was like, well, with an extension, when it started life as a conservatory with a glass roof. Then we changed that many, many years ago to have like a plastic roof, which meant it was a bit cooler than glass. That was like a greenhouse. Don't ever put glass in a conservatory. Pro tip there. Don't do that. Then we were having it redone. And the guy came round and he brought all the glass samples with him. All over the front room we had glass samples. And he's busy showing you that if he puts like, it was basically like a blowtorch on one side of this glass, the glass reflected the heat back and it was very cool. And we're looking at him like he'd lost the plot. And I'm saying to Mike, we're still not having a glass roof. So by the time he'd finished and all these things were more and more and more expensive, I said, look, let's have the front of it, lots of glass. That way we paint less wall, but let's put a proper roof on it, which was a grand idea. The roof's fabulous. It's got Velux windows in it. It's amazing. It's wonderful. And then it needed painting. Oh, it took me 5 days, I think, to paint the thing. It's massive. It's 3 metres wide, which about how many feet in 3 metres? Oh, at least 10 or 11. And lengthwise, I think it's 15 metres. Yeah. And it's about 12 foot tall. So it took ages. But glass is your friend, Jonathan. So if you have a glass wall, don't need to paint it. Can someone reshare Kylie's backside? We didn't actually have pictures. We had Kylie singing. But we said to Jed, you know, what would you fancy? And he went, don't care. That's not what I'm thinking about. He didn't care what she was singing. He just wanted reminding of I think he's seen her in concert 3 times. The last one only being a year ago. The laugh of it was he took his wife with him. Not quite sure what for. But there you go. And she said to me, I didn't rate her. I didn't think much of the concert. So what did Jed think, you know, of the sound? She said, I don't think he was interested. She said, I don't think he could have told you what she sang. Yes, otherwise occupied. Just for research. That's what Jed said. Oh dear, oh dear. Oh, you can lecture me on glass and G values and the whole nine yards. Yeah, Jonathan, there's an idea. There's an idea. That might send me to sleep on a Friday night. No, we did the... well, it's there's quite a lot of glass. Virtually the whole of the front and the side is glass. But it does have, like, you know, what do they call those things? A dwarf wall. Yeah, I didn't want one of those. We'd had one of those. And the thing that's a problem with them, one, they look like a conservatory, and this is an extension. But two, when you want to eat and you push a table up to it, all outside can see the table. So it's very weird. So I said I wanted a higher wall, and then higher and higher still. And then when they built it, we said, yeah, let's put one more brick on it. So we have a nice level that's got a ledge all the way around it. And we have double patio doors at the front that the dog's convinced do open. She's seen them open once. I think that set her mind at rest. But we use the side door, so we have another side door. And the side door needed to be incredibly wide. And there was a saga with the side door. But yeah, it's not as hot as the last one, thankfully. Nor does it leak like the last one. The roof actually works on this one. Was he at the front shouting, go, go, go? I don't think so. But if he'd have known, I think he definitely would have been.
That was a good point for me to walk in, wasn't it?
Yes, go, go, go.
Go, go, go.
Go, go, go.
Go, go, go.
Oh, that's the one. That's one of Dad's that will live on forever and ever. Amen.
Good evening, people.
He's in. How was the news?
Fine.
Because it was going to be a big day today, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mm, but it's not.
But it wasn't. It was a little day.
Today was going to be, who remembers last year when Mike and I headed off to hotel football and we had all those pictures of us playing football and stuff in the hotel? Oh, it was fantastic. That was President's Sunday. It is the last Sunday in June. So normally... sometimes it actually falls on bang on the right day, which is actually the feast of St. Peter and Paul. They have to share one. We're not sure why either. And anyway, it was today. But obviously, lockdown, no meet-up. I wonder when the first one will be.
So we're all supposed to raise our glasses.
There you go. Water as usual. God, that could do with a clean, couldn't I? Yeah, it's only water, but it'll do. Yeah, so we had a fabulous time last night, didn't we? I'm going to have a fabulous time next week. Oh, I could only think about two or three songs. We've had loads sent in, so that's fantastic. Loving that. Hello, Anthony. 2019. Yeah, the days you used to go out. Actually, that was a farce. You know what I remember about President Sunday? I mean, it went brilliantly, but it was one of those things with, like, seriously? We got, though, obviously it's a Sunday, so we had to go to Mass. Normally we would have skipped it and just gone and sorted the event out. You know, God's omnipotent and all of that. But we couldn't, because President's Sunday is when you invite everybody to your church. So they come to your church from all over the place, all the other churches that the members belong to. And the priest drags you up to the top and gives you a blessing. So we had all of that malarkey to do. Then I think we paid for tea and coffee for them, didn't we?
Yeah.
So then we had to go and do the tea and coffee thing, and both of us are just looking at our watches. You know, got to get off, got to get off, got to get to hotel football. Just really to make sure that everything was right. Plus the fact we were doing the decorations on the tables, which was genius on my part, looking back, wasn't it?
Yes.
Because there's always a calamity and criticism of the table centrepieces. The blokes don't care. The women never stop. And given that, you know, I am to flowers like, well, just don't go there. It's not good. So I can kill anything just by looking at it. So there was already rumblings from the ladies who flower that maybe I should...
By ladies who lunch.
Yes, ladies who flower, play with flowers, that maybe I should have been asking them for their services. And I'm saying to Mike, leave it to me, it'll be fine. And Mike's looking at me like, oh my God. Is she putting weeds on the table? So we finally escape from the tea and coffee. And we head off up to hotel football. Now, I would have thought, although I can now understand why, I would have thought that they would have had the place ready. But obviously, they have to pay the staff for the time that they're there. So they were doing the turnaround on a sixpence, which meant we walked into the room and they hadn't even started, which wasn't a problem, you know. We can do our bit while they're doing their bit. Apart from the fact that everybody had then had tea and coffee and they decided they'd come down early.
We told them not to.
We told them not to. We told them what time to turn.
I'm stood outside the hotel football on the pavement.
Trying to cut them off at the pass.
Saying, right, can you go in there?
Luckily, they have, what's it called? Cafe football.
Like, yes, cafe.
So it's like a bar. Well, you put a cotillion in a bar and they're quite happy. So we were
like
doing
you
that.
Said, they want to go upstairs because they want to, you know, sample the atmosphere.
Yeah.
And we want to keep them out.
Well, because, he wasn't ready. It's as simple
exactly,
as that.
Because if he's not ready, one, they start trying to help.
Yeah.
Which...
You know, don't want that.
Yeah, I can understand that, yeah, that their heart's in the right place, but...
Yeah, please stay out of my sight. Get off my lawn.
Exactly. Get off my lawn.
I wanted them to just walk in and the room be finished.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a wow factor, isn't it?
Yeah, Mike cut them off downstairs. I'm upstairs. And hello, Mrs. Simon. You'll appreciate ladies who flower. I'm not a lady who flowers. But I'd surpassed myself with this one. So they were laying the tables out and the roof was open because it was a beautiful warm day, thankfully. Trouble was, it was a bit on the windy side. So having gone round the tables and laid out all the cards and stuff, they all blew off the tables and had to do it again. So I'm getting increasingly frustrated up there. Mike's doing an admirable job keeping everybody out of the room, thankfully. And got to the point where everything was on the table. So all I needed to do then was put the, you know, like you put a table number on a table. We were having names, not numbers. And we'd specifically requested 8 tables. So luckily we did get 8 tables. So I went round and I put in like an A4 laminated sheet, which had the table name on it. And the tables were named after the 8 players who unfortunately lost their lives at Munich. So we were table 1, the Duncan Edwards table, and there were the other tables kicking around. Then came my moment. This was my moment. And I see Jonathan arranging flowers. Now, do you know Jonathan? Well, you will do when I've finished, right? Never mind even the water bit. Oh, I surpassed myself. There was 1 flower on each table. That way, they didn't need arranging. There was just the 1. They didn't need putting in a vase, because it was a single red rose lay at the foot of the table name in honour of the fact that they'd died. It was genius. There was no criticism of the arrangement of the flowers because there was only 1 on each table. There was no criticism of the vase. There was no criticism of anything. They just walked in and went, oh, I see. Darn it, outwitted. Not 1 criticism. I didn't ask for help with the flowers throughout the year, did I?
No.
No, I was very bad. Because the ladies who flower like to feel that they are flowering, as it were. So that was the big one. We did... The venue did them at Handover Lunch, didn't they? A couple of the venues just put flowers out. We weren't expecting them to, but they did just put flowers out. So there was no criticism there because we didn't do it. And the other one, which was Ladies' Night in November, that if you were with us in the WhatsApp group last night, you will have seen some fabulous photos of. We didn't bother with flowers at all. We dispensed with it. We went for balloons. Cost about 3 times as much, but hey, they were fun.
Yeah, it's easy that way. You don't get grief.
It is.
Yeah,
it is.
Going back to Prez's Sunday, how many floors are there in a hotel football? Is it 5?
I thought 6, 7, something like that.
Something like that. Anyway, I was down on the ground floor. And then I had a minor panic attack that I'd forgotten something. And rather than wait for the lift, I actually legged it up about 9 flights of stairs. And it was like the hottest day of the year. Sweat was pouring off me when I got up there.
Well, by the time I'd done the tables for the 3rd time, was me as well.
Luckily, the roof was open at that point.
Oh, it was. And there was a lovely breeze.
Yeah.
And all of the stuff that was on the table, we'd done... like a brochure. There was 2 brochures in each place. Yeah, the knife was on 1 and the fork was on the other by then, so they weren't going anywhere.
Anyway, whatever I thought I'd forgotten, I hadn't.
Oh, but he did at Ladies' Night. This was a classic.
I did not.
You so did.
I just mislaid it.
We have a lot of house keys, don't ask. Seriously, we have more house keys than jailers at Strangeways have. It's tradition. It goes back with my mother and father. I'm sure I've discussed the number of house keys we have. Every room in the house has a complete mortise lock on it. So we have a lot of keys. So he puts his set of keys. Now, mine were at home locked away in the safe, weren't they?
Yeah.
So we had one set of keys with us. We didn't need more than one set of keys, we said. So we headed off with these keys.
When we say safe, we're not loaded.
Oh, God, no, there's nothing in it. There's nothing in it but the keys. So we gets off and we'd taken bags with us that had stuff in, and we'd taken air for the balloons, we'd taken the balloons, you name it, we'd taken it with us. So he says, I'm going back to sort Lola out. So we're like, that's fine. So, because Lola was at home, wasn't she, till the evening?
Yeah.
She joined us in the evening, did Lola. She stayed with us at the hotel. But she was here during the day. So he headed back, deal with Lola, or he was trying to. And he said, where's the keys? He had every bag out. He had every box out. Couldn't find these keys. I said, well, what did you put them in? He said, the black pencil case. So we have a zippable pencil case that's just about big enough for the keys. Couldn't find it. Well, after at least 20 minutes searching, hello, Paul, still couldn't find it. So I don't know why I did, but I picked up the bag and I moved it. And I looked on the floor and we'd missed them because the thing was black. So obviously it was quite dark in there and the bag was black and it was sat half on top of it. So we didn't see it because it was black. Mike now keeps his keys in the new pencil case I bought him,
which
that
is
red. Bright red.
Yes.
There's no missing the keys now. I did threaten a Prince Albert, but I backed down, luckily for him. The florist foam. It does have another name. Oasis, yes, Oasis foam. And, Jonathan, you've got to get the right kind of Oasis foam. Did you know there's two distinct types? One for real flowers and one for fake flowers. The real flower one tends to be green and you can pour water on it and it will retain the water and feed the flowers. The other one tends to be a different colour. So it's like a kind of greyish thing and it's very fragile. Don't pour water on it. It doesn't end well. But that is for fake flowers. Okay, what's a Prince Albert? It's going to be a good one. Thank you for that, Jonathan. I think a
Kim,
link...
Kim, go and Google it.
I think a link might be needed.
Spare our blushes.
A Prince Albert. Oh, if you look up Prince Albert, you do actually get Prince Albert. And it was actually named after him. But I think I might need to put a Prince Albert at the beginning of that for it to make much sense. There we go. Oh, look, a pretty picture. Don't blame me that there's a picture there. It's all to do with keeping your bits and bobs tidy. I'll say no more, but there's a link. And that was Prince Albert, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was so he looked neat and tidy in photographs, just saying. People are barking mad. Absolutely barking mad. I mean, who in the right minds would fancy doing that? But there you go. Oh, that reminds me of an episode of MacBites. Jonathan will remember this one. Who remembers the old Razzle Dazzle? You don't even need to open that link. No, no, you can see that, can't you? Yes, the old Razzle Dazzle. That was when I took my mother shopping. That was never a good thing, was it? But we went past a local beautician's called Fish and Tips.
Kim's now seen it.
Kim is now the prize, same as the rest of us. Oh, I'm glad you remember it, Jonathan. It was a classic.
I'd like to know what they call it in the US.
That's true. That's true. Maybe they don't do stupid things like that in the US.
A Donny Dick.
Yes. It gets taken off air, Mike. Leave it, walk away. Yes, we went past Fish and Tips, but Mum thought it was a chippy, a fish and chip shop. It wasn't, it was a beautician's. But on the outside, they'd obviously run with the theme of it being like food, because outside they had a menu. Bear in mind here, I'm trying to drive. And I think at that time, I was going past the magistrate's court, wasn't I? Which they've since knocked down. Obviously not enough crime. Building flats, I think, aren't they? Not that I've been out in years.
Or in Nando's.
But anyway, it was opposite the Magistrates Court. And something was going on at the Magistrates Court. So I had a load of reporters, paparazzi. The paps were just running all over the road in front of me. So I'm trying to keep my eye on that. I'm trying to keep my eye on my mother. And she's saying, what's on that menu? How much is the fish? So I'm holding the steering wheel and I'm watching the traffic lights. I'm watching the paps and I glance over at this menu. And I think that doesn't look like a chippy. It wasn't a chippy. It was a beautician's. So the first item on the menu, and I have no idea how much it was, but I don't think she was interested once I'd explained. And I did have to explain. I said, Mom, it's not a chippy, it's a beautician's. She went, well, it says fish and chips. I said, I know. She said, there's a menu outside. And I said, yes, and the first item on it is a vajazzling, Mother. And she went, what's a vajazzling? I thought, oh, beam me up. in the middle of the paps, in the middle of the traffic lights, in the middle of trying to explain to your mother what a vajazzling is. If you're going to Google that, you won't want to Google pejazzling. That doesn't need much explanation after the Prince Albert. It's a fancy Prince Albert. But I made the mistake of going to Google it. Don't do that. Whatever you do, do not do that. Anyway, Mum got the hang of it in the end when I'd explained and looked at me with complete incredulity as though, who would do that? And I thought, don't look at me. It took me all my while to get my ears pierced. We're not going lower than the ears. Never. I don't know why people would want to do that, but... is he still a Prince Albert in the States? If it gets snagged or caught on, Brazilian wax. Yeah, they did that as well. They were called fish and tips because they had fish in there, smallest fish, and you were supposed to go in and put your feet in, and then they poured the fish in and they nibbled at your feet. Why? Seriously, have I missed something? So think piranha. They take off a dead layer of skin. So does sandpaper, but I don't want to try that either, because that's a whole different story, isn't it, Mike?
Let's not go there.
I was doing my law degree.
Shall I find a link?
The Crown and Brown. I was doing my law degree, and there was this case, and I'm like...
There you go, the Crown versus Brown.
What is going on here? So I explained it to Mike, and he was like, what? It's sandpaper. Think of sandpaper and the Prince Albert, and you are in the vicinity. He was suspicious of those fish. How did they know when to stop nibbling? That was my point. Oh, can you imagine that? I mean, it must be... I just think back to, like, you know, when my mum was coming to primary school, pick me up, and I remember all the other mums. And, you know, they didn't look anything like mums that you see these days. They're all yummy mummy types, aren't they, these days? But back then, if I'd have said to one of them, you know, why don't you go to the beautician's and stick your feet in there and we'll pour some fish in and they'll bite at you. They'd lock me up. They would have locked me up. But women just do these things. Insane. Constantly. There's just no explanation other than complete insanity. Decorate your downstairs with jewels. Jonathan, that's the title of the show. Right, I'm copying that. Jonathan has named the show. Oh, Kim's got a friend who did the fish thing and loved it.
Yes, but did the fish.
Oh, it's weird. It's weird. What's a Prince Albert and sandpaper? People do that. They do. They do. What was the... How come that got to court? Was it something to do with consent? I forget what the thing was.
I think so. I've just Googled it.
Crown and Brown.
You studied it.
Yeah, I know, but it was a long time ago.
I knew Johnny did law. He might know.
Yes, Jonathan did law. Surely you did the Crown and Brown. R.V. Brown.
Did you do Donoghue and Stevenson?
Oh, of course he did. Yeah, there you go. And this is actually from Wikipedia, so it's spot on right. Yeah, 1993, Crown and Brown. Have you noticed, though, Mike? Hang on a minute. That says 1994.
It was 1993.
It couldn't have been.
No.
Nah, but you see, it got to the House of Lords. So they might have... I can't remember it, but if you look, you see the citations... On the other side, it was definitely before 1993.
Yeah, because you told me about it in 1992.
Yeah, the transcriptions are probably from the final judgment, which was the House of Lords, but it will have gone, surely. You look down at the bottom, the external links, surely there's a one before that. I'll put the link in for the Crown and Brown anyway. It was sort of where the two met. I don't think Prince Albert was a complete necessity. But let's just say the House of Lords' judgment reaffirmed the conviction for five men for their involvement in a consensually unusually severe sadomasochistic sexual act over a 10-year period. 10 years. Just saying. Yeah, that was the kind of thing that I read at law school. I'm surprised, Jonathan, because you followed that. I'm sure you did it. It's one of the ones you don't forget.
Yeah, that's the one, Anthony.
That's the one.
It's a snail, wasn't it? Not a worm, but we won't split hairs over the time.
No, Donoghue and Stevenson was the snail in the ginger beer. Oh, there was another one as well. That's the one I'm thinking of. I always forget the names of these things. Mind you, it is a long time ago.
Oh, I did that one, Anthony.
Which one's this?
Carhill and Carbolic.
Carhill and the Carbolic Smokeball Company, yeah. And there was another one, the Crown versus Dudley and Stevens.
I couldn't tell you the details.
What? Of the Carbolic Smokeball yeah. Company? That was to do with fake advertising. Exactly, Jonathan. We learnt too much, didn't we? I remember people saying, like, oh, come on, it's Crown and Brown next week. And I thought, I'm still reading this week's cases. So I gets home, opens the book. You had two textbooks as a law student. One was the textbook and the other was a reference book and it had all the cases in it. So I opens it up to get the details and I'm reading it and my eyes are bleeding. And my mum comes in and she said, well, what are you reading this week? Because you don't want to know. You don't want to know. But she did. Well, I let her read it. She was like, these people are sick. Yeah, we've established that, mother. And there was another one as well. There's Dudley and Stevens, which was the cabin boy. That was establishing the principle that necessity is not a defence to murder. Dudley and Stevens had been shipwrecked with the cabin boy. They were a bit peckish. They ate the cabin boy. And hence, necessity is not a defence to murder. So they were put away. There was another one. Was it the Crown and Collins? Collins rings a bell. Let's have a look. Yes, it was. This one's a classic. Crown and Collins. Right, let's summarise the Crown and Collins. Because it tells you what they... what law it established. But this one was a classic. This one was 1973. You'd remember this one, Mike, wouldn't you? The Crown and Collins. I'm sure Jonathan's read it. The facts of it were... Oh, first of all, you need to know in English law, burglary rather than theft is where you've entered a premises and taken something. So if you're in a park and you pick up somebody's phone and walk off with it, that's theft. But if you were in their house and you picked up their phone and made off with it, that's burglary. Now, burglary itself doesn't have to mean theft. You could be charged with burglary if you've entered premises and you've stolen something, murdered somebody, or raped somebody. So it's all semantics, but that's the rule. So, Crown and Collins. This was all to do with was a window ledge part of a building, but the facts were even funnier than that. I mean, it's not funny, but oh my. This guy climbs up a drain pipe. Then he gets down off the drainpipe, but he eventually gets back up the drainpipe, right? And he stood on the window ledge. Now, at that point, it was a case of, like, was that in the building? Because if it was, then he was guilty. But if it wasn't, then he wasn't. Because what actually happened was a girl invited him inside. And she thought... This guy stood on the window ledge outside her room, was her boyfriend. So she invited him in and they consummated this thing. At which point she realised it wasn't her boyfriend and started screaming blue murder. So it very much depended on whether, because she'd invited him in. So if she'd invited him, it's not burglary, is it? And then it all became, was it mistaken identity, etc. Absolute classic. So if Jonathan remembers correctly, robbery is theft and violence or theft thereof. Yep, that's right. Robbery is where there's violence involved. So it's all odd, etc. You only did consumer law. Oh, no, you need these cases. These are the classic cases. Because, you know, that's got quite a write-up on that. But we would get like one line of what happened, and then the rest of it would be like the detail. So it says here it was a unanimous appeal which examined the meaning of enters as a trespasser in the definition of burglary. So it's quite detailed rather than being based on the facts. It becomes very abstract. But, you know, when you've got facts like that and you're thinking, well, was she so excited? Did she not know? Wasn't her boyfriend crying out loud? She didn't know her boyfriend very well. Exactly. He was of similar build, was what it said. But even so, you need to be more intimately acquainted. Seriously. Yeah, at 2 a.m. he climbed the ladder, caught sight of the sleeping woman and stripped to his socks. You've got to read the facts. It's a classic. I mean, it's not funny, really, is it? But you've got to laugh. I think I would have noticed. Definitely, if he'd stripped to his socks, I would have noticed. Oh, I think they were. I think they were the best ones. There was quite a few in Family Law that were a scream, but I think they were the best ones. This is why you don't have a problem remembering stuff like that, like the snail in the ginger beer. It's the nuances you've got to remember, because they'll change the facts slightly in the exam paper, and you've got to pick up on that. But yeah, that was my time at university. It wasn't all dull, was it? And the thing was, some of these cases weren't criminal cases either. Some were to do with negligence and tort and all kinds of stuff. Oh, what was the one with the... there was another one. Something Docks. Saint Something Docks. That was to do with the thin skull rule. Jonathan will remember all of these. You found EU law dull, though. It's all about oranges, potatoes and vegetables. Don't let's get going on vegetables, Jonathan. I had the wisdom not to study EU law. It was an option, and I decided family was a better bet. Let's just say I gave that up quickly. So what did I do instead? You have to do your core four, which is crime, tort. We at one point were supposed to do English legal history, but then we got to dump that one. You had to do jurisprudence. I think there were 6 core subjects you had to do, and then you could choose the rest. So,
thank you.
I did. We had to do crime, criminal law, constitutional law, contract. I think it was principles of English law, jurisprudence, and what the heck was the other one? There was definitely 6 that you had to do. But on top of that, I did company. Company I did instead of EU, I think. I did family and then dropped it, and I swapped that for succession, which was wills and planning. But my favourite was actually administrative law. Administrative law and evidence. And evidence was tricky. But I loved it. But we had the most amazing lecturer. He was the best barrister in the country, and he only lectured on a Saturday morning, which was a pain in the backside if you were working. So one of my friends we'd arrange like days that we did stuff, and you worked your lectures around them, and then you worked certain days. I didn't work on a Saturday. This was so funny. This guy only lectured on a Saturday because he was a practicing barrister, but he was the best. If you got there 2 seconds late, he'd kick you out. You'd be outside. And people did sit outside on the floor, trying to keep the door open far enough that they could hear him and take lecture notes, sat on the floor because they were late. And some people, you know, they were just late. They were just never got there on time. But other people, you know, it'd be things like the tube or the bus was late, and they didn't want to miss it. So whenever he had a lecture, I only wish we'd have had smartphones then, where you could have taken pictures, because you would get up there, or you would be inside and you could see out of the glass panel on the door, and the entire corridor was filled with people just laid out on the floor making notes because they didn't want to miss his lecture. But my friend was actually working. She had to work on a Saturday, and she didn't want to miss it either. What she did was she sent her mother with a tape recorder. The thing was, her mother was about 93. Somehow she got away with it. So she'd be in there with a tape recorder in her bra. And then she'd be asking me questions the following week. Oh, what fun we had. But he was very good. He was... The thing that made him great was he was more of a stand-up performer. Oh, you enjoyed public law. I liked admin. Yeah, so it was government law, but we called it administrative law. Family law was great. You'd have loved that, Jonathan, because you only had to remember one name for the case, because it was usually Jones versus Jones or Smith versus Smith. So we all loved that. But he was more of a performer, and he had every judge that you would know. So there was Lord Denning, Lord Hailsham, Lord Havers. He had all these judges. He could mimic these judges like Mike Yarwood in years gone by. He was brilliant. So he'd start off and then he'd say, right, we'll have the judgment. And the next minute, he's away from the podium and he's walking along pretending he's got a stick and the voice is spot on. And we're just sat there absolutely mesmerised. Ooh, an arrogant one. I guess I was... Let's put it like this. He knew his own worth. He really did. And you were okay with him as long as, you know, you never tried pulling one over on him, because that was never going to work. You just can't imagine your lawyers in their proper wigs discussing these things across your mind. They're probably partaking in these things, Kim, just saying. Them and the politicians. Oh, and the higher-ups in the police. Probably. He was the kind of guy that you could actually have had a conversation with, but you were so in awe, you just kind of stood there and looked. He was brilliant. What he did that was before his time as well was when he gave you, he always did a handout every week of the pertinent points. And sometimes it was only one A4 side of paper. Sometimes it went on to like 3 or 4 pages. But what was different with his than anybody else was he took the time to do it like a flowchart. So did you do evidence, Jonathan? Or something like theft in criminal? So in England, for something to be theft, there needs to be dishonest appropriation of property belonging to another with the intention to permanently deprive the other of it. And if you can't say yes to each one of those, then it's not theft. So sometimes you'd get up to like number 5 and be thinking, yes, and then it doesn't fit the last one. So he would take that test, and instead of it being like, I mean, I've done it that long, it's in my head, but he would draw it out and he would say, is it dishonest? Now, something can be dishonest. Something can look dishonest and it not be dishonest. So somebody went into the wages office where they worked, believing that they were owed money and demanded it. Now, is that theft? Well, there's no dishonesty. He genuinely believed he was owed this money. And in fact, he actually was. The slight fly in the ointment was he'd gone in with a shorn off shotgun to get it. So it was a whole different crime, but it wasn't theft because there was no dishonesty to it. Appropriation, you need to take it away. There's no good looking at a mug on a table and saying, that's mine, you know, when clearly it's somebody else's. That because is it dishonest? Well, yeah. Is it property of another? Intention to take it, so basically to take it away. There's no appropriation. You're not taking it anywhere. You've just said it's yours. That doesn't mean it's theft. So he did this whole thing. You were mouthing along as I described it.
I was as well.
Mike knows it by heart now. But the thing was, you know, there was this 5-point test. So he did it as a diagram. So he'd got like a funnel at the top and like question one. And, you know, is it dishonest? And if it's yes, go on to part two. If it's not, and then he put, you know, it's not theft. And then you go on to part two. If the answer to that is no, it's not theft. 3, no, it's not theft. And you just glanced at this diagram and that was it. That summarised about 6 weeks worth of work in this one diagram. Have you just dropped into Crown Court? Yes, Stuart, you have. Oh, Stuart, you've missed some cases. What do you think was the highlight so far?
The Crown and Brown.
No, I think the highlight was when we were talking about a Prince Albert Prince and Kim Albert. Needed to ask what it was. Would you care to enlighten us, Stuart? It's all right, we've done that. You've been learning a lot. Your digital copy. Oh, the handbook, 597 pages. Well, Jonathan, you know, e-law, EU law now. Yeah, I'd just been it. No, I never had the pleasure of that. Do you know why I didn't fancy it, Jonathan? because they called their things different, didn't they? It wasn't statutes or statutory instruments. They all had a whole new term. I can't even remember what they were. You'll remember it. I didn't do EU law at all. Not even an intro to have a think about it. Stuart, we reached the bottom of the barrel and then we kept on going.
We reached the bottom of the barrel as I walked in from doing the news.
We did, actually. Then we went through all the cases because Jonathan was a legal student, like me, and he remembered all these cases. And it turns out others had done maybe law to O-level or A-level. They remembered some of these cases, but some of the classics were new to people. That was a good one. I think possibly the Crown and Collins was a good one. The Crown and Collins, you'll like this, Stuart, was whether or not it was entering as a trespasser. If you were invited in by a young girl who thought you were her boyfriend and then had sex with you, then realised that you weren't her boyfriend and she was less than pleased. Kim thinks she needs to know her boyfriend better. Which is pretty much where we were. Oh, construction lot. We mentioned carbolic smoke ball. There you go. If you didn't do the Crown and Collins, Stuart, there you go. Want to discuss, I think, over tea with Ellen. She'd love that. Oh, we're bad. This is what kept you going as a law student, you know, because so much of it was dry and dull. I must find that other one. Was it St Anne's Dock? Does that ring a bell? St Anne's Dock. Let's have a look. No, that's actually St Anne's Dock. It was a legal case. I just can't remember the other side. And I wonder if it would have had an E on the end. St Anne's Dock. Might not have been St Anne's. No. Oh, I know how I could find it. Jonathan, you should know these things. It established a principle. The thin skull rule. There you go, causation in criminal liability. It's all coming back to me now. But what was the case? Oh, there's loads of them. None of them were the ones that I was thinking of. No, not Haywood. I do remember Haywood, but it was something dark. Hello, Paul. How are you doing? New topics today. Oh, yes. We've learnt lots about law, haven't we? Yeah, and probably the best bet's not to get involved with it. Let's just leave it there. Oh, I need to tell Stuart while he's here. We've had loads of nominations for songs next week. So get yours in early. Mind you, I'm still wading through all your musicals and Ellen's as well. Plenty to choose from there. But our theme is independence in America. So anything like that goes. Stuart will know some amazing songs that I have never heard of. Look at Madam there with her legs stuck out.
I've seen her.
She's not been for a walk yet, so obviously she's lying there with her foot tapping against Mike's chair.
Well, as if, I could have taken her, but I'd have missed all this chat about Prince Albert's and things.
Oh, yeah, it would have been bad if you'd have been out and listening, wouldn't it? Yeah. You'd have to have dialed in. You wouldn't have wanted to be left out of that lot.
No.
No, we've been really good. We've been really good, haven't we? Oh, I had a question. I'm not mentioning the D word. Do you know what the D word is?
No.
Because I know the answer to the D word, so I'm not mentioning it. No, I had a question about liquid text that we discussed. Is anybody actually using it? Have you used it on an iPad?
Oh, I do know what the D word is.
Yeah, the D, I'll whisper it. Devon Think. Yes, I know you want to do Devon Think, but this is another question entirely. I've already got that on a post-it note. Have any of you ever used liquid text? And if so, in what way? Let me know. Oh, you got all your slides from 8 years ago. Where was I 8 years ago to help you out? Probably doing Magpies, Jonathan. But if you'd have just pinged me. Oh, evidence is a good one. Evidence was a good one. He was an evidence lecturer, this guy. So he did do other stuff, but evidence. And his flowcharts. You didn't need to revise. You just glanced at this flowchart and thought, yeah, that's clear as a bell. But the other people, they'd give you like 27 pages of closely typed notes. In fact, in my third year at university, you'll laugh at this, Jonathan, I had a lecturer and he was also an evidence lecturer. So if you can imagine this god of evidence lecturers, and then this guy next to him. You walked into his lectures and he said, get your pen out, and you had your A4 pad of paper, and he started dictating. And for an hour, he dictated notes to you. It was shocking. Really bad. Oh, Kim's excited. That'll be the D word. And Paul's strategy on the iPad didn't really do much with it. Just ran through the tutorial. See, I've been talking to Mike about it. Obviously, there's a huge fly in the ointment with Liquid Text in that it involves the C word, Catalina. And I'm still not sold on the Catalina idea. Neither are you?
No.
Hi, Sierra boy. I know I'm going to have to do it sooner or later, and I know as soon as I get a new Mac, it's going to be installed and you're going to be stuck with it. But right now, we saw what happened on Friday. We don't really want to push it our luck anymore, do we, with a new operating system? So I was thinking about the functionality that it has, and then I talked to Mike, and he said, well, I just highlight stuff. Go for Big Sur. We're calling it Biggles. We don't like the name Big Sur. We've discussed it and tried it. No, we don't like it, so we're calling it Biggles. Which I think personally would have been a way better name. But that's just me. Oh, you did IT Essentials Cisco course, and that was all to do. Reading an online version of the textbook and a bit of practice, but mostly it was reading. You know, he could have just, instead of reading it out for an hour, why didn't he just photocopy it and be done? And then we didn't need to waste time on it. When I see what goes on now at university, it's like, wow. I remember Jonathan talking about an app. Which app was it, Jonathan? It was one where you had slides and you could make your notes from the slides. I remember it. Oh no, Kim, that's not good. Printer doesn't work with Catalina. I mean, why? It's a printer. Why? It doesn't make sense. Is it a scanner thing? Pear Note, that's the one. Is it still going? I remember you talking about it. Oh, it looks like it is, from Useful Fruit Software. Now, I've seen something similar to that online. Changes log, let's have a look. There's no dates on the changes log, that's not helpful. You can't open them. Why? Did they change the format? Because the software's still there, there's even a version for iOS. Does it just not work? Scan view. I think you mean view scan. View scan would pretty much work with any printer. It's amazing. The only thing that's a bit iffy. Which scanner is it, Kim? Is it what sort of scanner is it? Is it a flatbed scanner? Is it a sheet fed scanner? Is it a sort of handheld waft it over the page scanner? What sort of scanner is it? Last updated in 2013. Oh dear. Oh dear. Oh, Anthony, I remember those. The big chunky things, weren't they? What I did with mine, which in hindsight was a fabulous idea, but I didn't really expect to have to use it, was I pretty much printed them out. There you go, you see it? You've downloaded it and it runs. So you can open all your notes and find a way to export them. You never know when you might need those. I printed out much of mine. My notes were handwritten. Obviously, back in the day. Did I start my degree before I had a computer? No, I didn't. But you wouldn't. I think I had a Spectrum at the time. Yeah, I did. I did. I had a Sinclair Spectrum. And it was hooked up to the most industrial printer you have ever seen. This thing was a daisy wheel. Who remembers daisy wheel printers?
Well, I remember daisy wheel printers.
This sounded like a herd of rampaging buffalo. Honestly, you had to make an appointment to print anything out because the neighbours, you had to let them know. They actually sold acoustic boxes to put these printers in. They were that loud. And I had one of these and I had it attached to a Sinclair Spectrum. I needed to go to a guy in Birmingham. I was in Derbyshire picking up the computer and they put me in touch with a guy called Kevin Smith who worked at a company in Birmingham. And I had to explain to him what I wanted. And I basically needed an RS-32 port. Is it 323 port? An RS port for the printer. And at the other end, on the Sinclair Spectrum, it had what looked like, and actually physically was identical, to a phone thing. So, you know how you plug your household phone in these days, that was the end. And you plugged that into your Sinclair Spectrum. But he needed to rewire it. So I explained it all to him and we faxed him part of the manual that had the layout. And he made me this cable. Cost me 20 quid for a cable. Can you imagine that in 1988? It was like, good God, that's 3 weeks of wages. But he made it for me and posted it on. And I used that for a good few years. Probably 2 years. And then I got my Amiga. And then I had to get back onto Kevin in Birmingham and explain that I got this Amiga and now could you make it work with that, please? Another 20 quid for a cable. But hey, it worked. But it means I've got it pretty much, you know, I printed out my stuff. And because the printer was so fabulous, I reckon it would OCR brilliantly. So I need to do that. So it's a sheet, it's a flatbed and a sheet scanner, but you really do need it. Certain files for genealogy, submit them on acid-free legal paper. And Anthony will have them printed somewhere. Yeah, I've still got them. It's so bad. No wonder I've got no shelf space. Oh, a Braille embosser, and they're just as loud. Yeah, you think about that, haven't you? Because it must be the physicality of it, the pressure it needs. You need an acoustic box. Right, Kim, I would imagine it would work. If you've got a model number, let me know and I'll have a look, because I've got that installed. You were so cool as a student. You're still a millennial, Jonathan. So in our mind, you look like you're 18 with a baseball cap on backwards. In our mind. And then, of course, we see you and we think, oh, look, proper grown-up with a suit on and everything. How's the draw going, Mike? Or are they still playing?
No, the draw's been made.
Oh, go on.
Chelsea.
Oh, dear. That could have gone better, then. Who's in the other half?
Arsenal and City or Newcastle.
Yeah, well, actually, you might have done quite well with Chelsea then. Just saying. Right, let's have a look at that and see if it would work. The only thing I'll say about ViewScan, as opposed to something native that goes into DevonThink, is it will do multi-pages, but it's not the best. It's not really made for multi-pages. It will do it, but every now and then it stops and it thinks that that's enough, that it's got all the pages. And obviously there's some more in there. Right, let's have a look. Is it under support? Now, I bought ViewScan years ago and I think I got lifetime updates. There used to be a page on here where you can... There it is. I think it's in that one. There we go. There it is. Right, now it's HP. This used to be a whole lot easier. You just used to type it in. You don't apparently type it in anymore. Is it a... Hang on, let's take the first bit off. Let's just go for the number. Is it a HP OfficeJet Pro 8600? Because if it is, yes, it works. And it works on... Windows 10 ARM, just saying. Mac OS and Linux. So yes, it does work. There is a trial of that you can do. The trick with it is setting it up properly. It's got a huge range of options because it's the same application that will scan A4 pages, photographs, negatives, the whole works. Because of that, there's a lot of settings. They give you standard settings, which work for, you know, maybe 80% of what you do. But if you've got something quirky like receipts or an odd size, or you need to scan negatives, then you need to get into that advanced 20%. And when you get in there, it's like a black hole. There are so many options. When you get them all set up correctly, it works like a charm. I've used that for probably about 12, 13 years. And I've only had a Mac 14 years. So I can highly recommend that. Now, how much is it? Let's have a look. Because there's two versions. There's a standard version, which is only... Ooh! I found £20 off. Hopefully there's £20 off for you. It's £19.99 for free updates for a year, or £59.99 for lifetime. So I went for the professional edition and got lifetime updates. But I'm pretty sure I paid more than that way back in the day. Let's have a look. I will tell you exactly what I paid for it. Because I put it in 1Password. There you go. I bought it. Where are we? 2006. 20th of December 2006. And I paid £79.95. So you could get it cheaper than that today. I've been swindled. But there's £20 off today. I'm assuming it's doing that based on where you are. So I'm hoping that you'll see there's $20 off. Take it for a swift trial, but it will work. If you go to the support page and you follow through the question about will it work with my scanner, it takes you through to like a sub page. And it says that it does work in there. I've had it working with the flatbed scanner. And this flatbed scanner is older than the hills. It's easy 18 years old, if not more. It has a negative scanner on it. And obviously it stopped working years ago on the Mac, but ViewScan makes it work again. So it sat on the top shelf doing very little. But the one that I use is my Fujitsu ScanSnap. That broke with, it was either LCAP or the one after that. Did it work on LCAP? One of them, it doesn't work anyway. So it died a death. So what I did was I tried ViewScan on my main Mac, which is running Mojave, and I've tried it. It does work. Like I've said, if I want to do one photo, and I want it to be really good quality, then I would use ViewScan because you've got far more options. The only thing it's a little bit iffy with is if you're doing like 500 pages. It gets so far and then it's as though it's had enough. So unfortunately for me, where I put in, we're still trying to go paperless with a lot of the paper we've got, aren't we?
Mm.
Mm. So if I were to take a book or a magazine and try putting it through, it would probably struggle. It would do it one page at a time. But trying to get the whole lot through at once, it does seem a little bit too much for ViewScan. There is the other alternative if you've got an old Mac, and that is to just set that up with a copy of DevonThink and a driver. Because DevonThink hooks in with certain ones. I'm still doing that. You'll like this bit. This is typical of what happens in this house. I set it all up. So it's using my father's 2009 MacBook Pro. And it's all working fine. Oh, it's $100. That's outrageous. Why would it be $100? What are you seeing? Let me take a screenshot of what I'm seeing. A screenshot. Because I wonder if it would matter. Have you got a VPN? Why would it be so much more expensive? That is criminal. Right, let me see how Droplr's feeling today. It was poorly the other day. Didn't feel at all well with itself. Oh, it's in a much better mood today. That's because it's cooler. Right, let me make sure that that worked and I'll send it to you. If you've got a VPN, I'd suggest you set it to the UK and buy it through the UK. Right, there you go. That's the page I'm seeing right now. Did I put that link in? That's the page, Purchase View Scanner. Yep, that's the one I'm looking at. That's the one I've just sent you, Kim. Have you got a VPN? Try doing that. Why would it be on sale in the UK? That makes zero sense.
I can see £69.
What?
The link that Kim's just sent.
Okay, I'll go get that. Hang on.
It shows £29.95 or...
Is this just flaming random, man?
Or £69.95 for the Pro Edition. No, what it does is it does show $99 or something, but then it very quickly flicks to the UK prices.
Yeah, but you've got £10 off, and I've got £20 off. Look. Right, Kim, let's try something else. You don't have a VPN. Right. Do you have Vivaldi, the browser? Because in Firefox, it's telling me it's £69.99. And in Vivaldi, it's telling me it's £59.99. You should not have to go shopping through different browsers. This is like you in Tesco's and Aldi.
Yeah, this is showing me £20 discount with your link and £10 discount with Kim's link.
But it's the same link. What? Oh, for crying out loud. Try it in Vivaldi, Kim, just in case. You never know. Shouldn't be like that. But you never know. It might be. Crying out loud.
Is this a Shopping with Elaine moment?
This is a Shopping with Elaine moment. But, you know, I'm not making it up. I've taken a screenshot. You can see it. I'm going to just leave it like that in case Kim wants to buy it. This is ridiculous. Right, let me have a look at that other link, the embosser. I want to see the embosser.
Or a Shopping with Kim moment.
Yeah, but do you know that puts you off, doesn't it? Knowing that somebody else has got it at a different price. It's like, why would that happen? And then you've got a third price. So far, we've got three prices. It's ridiculous. Right, I'm looking at this now. This is going to be amazing. I've got a friend whose daughter was born blind. She's always managed without a guide dog, which I find amazing. But she's got this device where I think she types and it makes Braille. And I think she's got another one where she types and then that's just like a standard computer thing.
Stuart sees $59.95.
Whoa, Stuart, we're the chosen ones, mate. Which doesn't help us because I've already bought it and I'm presuming you're not in the market. Do you know, if only you could pass over your good fortune to Kim, who is in the market. Wow, that Braille thing's amazing. I didn't realise there were shapes as well. I only assumed text. Oh, wow, that is amazing. You need to come on. Oh, Anthony, you need to come on and talk us through it. It's amazing. How fabulous. Vivaldi's still $99.95. Okay, how many other browsers have we got? Oh. So what's this going on with the manager? Have they won? They won a game?
Yeah, they've changed the manager and won a game.
I knew they'd sack the one that they had.
They've got, what's it, Neil Warnock?
Isn't he shielding because he's 72?
No, that's Roy
Good
Hodgson.
Good to see you're planning for the future, Stuart. Mind you, 72's not old these days, is it?
Neil Warnock.
I hope 72's not old these days because that's only 19 years older than me. God, that's depressing. And you think you're bad, Jonathan? Let's go through all of the browsers.
Stuart, if you want to see, you've probably seen it, this Neil Warnock rant. Not for the faint-hearted.
Oh dear, was this a new one?
No, it's years old.
Oh, right.
There's lots of swearing in it.
A bit like the Keegan one. I'll love it if we win.
No, it's worse than that.
Oh dear. Right, I shall put that there and watch it later. Oh, was this some kind of documentary?
It could have been from a documentary.
Oh, it was Huddersfield. It was Huddersfield.
Well, that's where Anthony's from, isn't it?
I'm thinking of Sugar in My Tea.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, did you notice, Stuart? Made it through another show without being beaten. You're the one who's got nearest to beating me. In fact, I think you were about to put me out of my misery, weren't you, when I found it? Oh, Frank in the week. Frank was absolutely... He'd found this song, Stuart, and he had it on a record. And it was a strictly limited edition. So he thought he had me. So he sends this mail through and said, like, you know, I've at ya, got ya, and puts in the details. But I'm, like, not on my mail because I'm busy. Another mail comes in and it was star, 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 KS. So it started B, star, 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 KS. I thought, that's not like Frank. I goes in and he said, I've just found it on YouTube. Well, if he found it on YouTube, maybe I would have found it on YouTube. So he kiboshed that one. And that was when he came up with his other one. But that one wasn't actually that tricky. But I'm not telling Frank that. So let's see what he comes up with next week. You are 25 miles away. I will watch that later and I will see that. I always find it amazing. Like Jonathan said, he was fascinated. We met a lady at the Octagon Theatre in Bolton and she had a guide dog. So obviously we're watching. She had very dark glasses on, so I don't think she had any vision at all. This dog was amazing. It knew its way around the Octagon all right. And the thing was, everybody adored it. So when we'd when the play started, she took its harness off so it knows it's relaxing. I wonder, you know, how that dog would have gone on. Because she went to everything. She had a season ticket. Mm. How would that dog go on when, like, Tenant of Wildfell Hall, when there was a dog on the stage? Like, what's that dog doing? I don't know. This was it Jane Eyre we were out with
that
one?
I think it was, yeah.
I think it was a visually described performance, because that must have been very difficult. It was Jane Eyre, and obviously, if you know the story of Jane Eyre, you've got the mad woman in the attic. And what they'd done was, instead of just having it as sound effects off stage, the Octagon is a theatre in the round. And it was very much a product of its era. It's just over 50 years old. It was quite small, claustrophobic, it was very warm. And they'd got the lighting rigs above you. The lighting rig was over the centre of the theatre, but they'd got like cages, basically, you know, so nothing falls. And what they'd done was they'd done a safety assessment and they'd got the go ahead to actually have the actors in this space next to the lights as if it was an attic. The dog was fascinated. And I wondered what on earth, how would they describe that to this woman? She could obviously hear it, but it really was above your head. I think it would have sounded like a sound effect, but it wasn't. And the dog was fascinated. But when the play was over, the actors came out to do a bit of a talk so you can ask questions. And the dog was still on the floor out of it all. The actors were queuing up and saying, is it all right if I stroke the dog? There was literally a queue for the dog. Never mind the actors. I managed to sneak in there because obviously I was Sam's dog at the time. So I kind of wandered over. Oh, is it a boy or a girl? How lovely. May I pet it? Like a sotto. She was very nice. She was very, very generous to all us idiots there. Most theatres offer a touch tour. That's a good idea, isn't it? That is a brilliant idea. I'm not sure if the Octagon do. But the lady that I was talking about that had the daughter... that was blind, her daughter decided she would go to, she'd been to lots of stuff and she'd got a degree in English literature, I think. And she decided she was enjoying the theatre so much, she'd go back and she'd do like a 2-year theatre degree. So she did. And I think somebody, and I don't know if it was, it certainly wouldn't be the guide dogs, like I say, she didn't have a guide dog, but some, they must provide some kind of like helper, an assistant. So she had an assistant or more than one throughout university while she did this theatre studies thing. And then she actually went back to the Octagon and she worked as a deputy stage manager or something like that. And again, she had helpers to walk around. But I don't think they do the tour of the audience. But that is such a brilliant idea. And I'm thinking of plays like where there's something on the stage that you could do with knowing about. So something like Ibsen's A Doll's House. There's a huge table in the middle of the stage. And on it, in the middle of that, there is a little model of a house, and it's critical to the entire play. Obviously, it's called A Doll's House. That would be brilliant to be able to do that. So Kim's college roommate used to teach blind to snow ski. Whoa. Do you know, I think it, we've talked about that guy, the doctor, who went blind with a disease, but he must have been in his early 30s, so it was really late. And that he'd gone round. This was the one where he was videoing stuff. I think it must take such a leap of faith to do that. I remember, I mean, times I'm going places and I'm saying to Mike, you know, will there be this and will there be that? Because you just don't know. It's venues that you've never been before. Like a swift out, isn't it, Mike? Mm. Will he lock the door? Because I might want to go. Stuff like that. And I just think it takes such a leap of faith. The courage that they show is just absolutely amazing. I mean, he had a guide dog, but this girl didn't. Her mum wanted her to be independent without a guide dog. And she was very independent, but I think it would have been nice for her to be able to walk around, you know, and have a little bit more independence as she got older. You can get a disabled student grant, which pays towards helpers and technology. Oh, no, see, I didn't know that either. If students go to university or work, they have mobility training to help them find their way around the campus. Yeah, this lady seemed to have somebody with her permanently. I think they called them guides. They were volunteers. I don't know if it was a local thing or if it was a theatre thing or if it was from, you know, the Royal Institute for the Blind or something. But she seemed to have that all the time. But I just thought, you know, once she got to her early 20s, she was going to be going to different cities to go to different theatres. And while you may learn the layout of the theatre, you know, it would actually be nice to be able to sort of wander around a bit. But there again, you hear such horrific tales of when people do that you think maybe that's not the best idea. Maybe you're better to have somebody with you. Which is sad, but it's the way it is these days, isn't it? She would tap her poles in front of them to guide the way. Oh, that takes such courage. I wouldn't fancy that either. What was the Catanian thing that was on? And I said to you, I'm not at all sure about that. I can't remember which one it was. It could have been in Joe's year. It was something that involved physicality. Oh, remember the first trip we went on? Stuart will remember this. It was the barge trip, Stuart. Yeah, I had great concerns about that. and how are we getting on the barge? Like, we're not going to have to get on a little dinghy and float out to it, are we? That was actually quite civilised. There were steps, wasn't there? But if you don't know, if you've not been, and you're thinking, I'm not swimming anywhere. access to work. Oh, this is all fantastic information. I had no idea about that. All I heard it called was a guide. But they were fantastic. I mean, they did all the reading. I don't know whether they put the scripts into Braille. They're a very small theatre, and they were actually saving up at the time for a complete revamp, which I will say, sadly, they've just finished. They have finished it, but obviously they can't open up at the moment. So they were hoping to have plays on to start generating money to pay it back. They've got some, but certainly nowhere near enough, unfortunately, to pay it off. That's going to take a lot of money. Did we have a price for that? I know it was millions. No, and every time you go, you pay for your tickets, and then there's the ice cream. Now, that's like, it would be 20p from Aldi, and it's £4 there. So you're definitely paying for the roof on that one. Then there's sweets, isn't there? The programmes. And then, having paid all of that, you're trying to get out of the door, and a cast member comes on the stage at the end of it, during the kind of the final bow, with a bucket. Says the buckets will be there on the way out. It's like, God, I can't leave without getting mugged. It's costing us a fortune. Another Warnock team talk with a few words which don't begin with F. I thought all his words began with F. There we go. Only 2% of blind people see nothing. Most have some useful sight. Didn't know that either. I'd guess this girl had a little bit of sight, but certainly not enough to read. I just think it's so difficult. No matter what, it's so difficult, isn't it? The world isn't really made unless you've got all your faculties. If there's anything that, you know, you're a bit... You could maybe have a problem walking. We've got people in the Catanians, haven't we, on sticks, two sticks. Mm. We've had them on crutches. And it is difficult. I mean, how are we not going back, Stuart, to Ashton Golf Club? We loved Ashton Golf Club. And when we realised they'd taken a decision, they took a vote. You'll love this. This was brilliant. Everything's on the first floor. So we thought it was a lovely venue. And you know Kath from By Request? Kath and Joe had their President's Sunday there, and it was fabulous. So I said to Mike, oh, I really love that venue. So we get on to them and that, and Mike comes off the phone and he says, well, that's off the list. I said, are they booked? He said, no. So I said, what? And he'd actually asked them about the lift. What lift? Now, I've just said everything's on the first floor. And I'm just mentally going through the list of people that would have used the lift, quite a few. And he said, they haven't got a lift. So I said, that's a bit of an oversight, isn't it, with everything on the first floor. So he said, that wasn't the worst bit. It had come up at a, because it's a golf club, it had come up at the committee and they'd taken the decision not to put a lift in because, quite frankly, golfers are able-bodied and they don't need a lift. Straight through that went the line, never going there again. That's shocking. Because there's another golf club not too far away that's used for meetings. And I know the lift's tiny, isn't it, Stuart? You can vouch for that one. I remember you struggling to get you in it. It's really tiny. And I don't think it's for general use, but at least there's a lift. Hey, no lift. And I'm thinking Peter Callahan, Andrea's on a... with a back brace, and I'm thinking, and we're not doing the Carrie and Ellen manoeuvre again, are we, Stuart? Not like Nid. That nearly came to blows. So that's why we crossed it off the list. It is a beautiful venue, but what an attitude! What an attitude! I think they're thinking they're paying for it, but they're making money from the venue with people hiring it for things other than golf. And if they don't go, then you're not hiring it out. So that's why we crossed it off our list, Stuart. People make the mistake of thinking accessibility is to do with disability. It's not. We all benefit from good design. We do. We do. There's places we've been, and honestly, I can't remember the name of it. Was it a hotel? They supposedly had a staircase. I wish you could have seen it. It was like the north face of the Eiger, and it was about 2 foot wide. And I said to Mike, you're not going to get the suitcase up there. They just don't think. They don't. I mean, we love Alverston. We absolutely love Alverston. You all know that. We love going there. But the first year we went, it was horrific. It's a wonder we went back, actually. But when we went back, we got much better rooms because the rooms that they'd put us in had just been revamped. So they were brand new, which didn't end up well at Telford, did it?
No.
Just thinking. What's up now?
Nothing's up.
Oh, you're enjoying watching the football.
I'm not.
They put us in these brand new rooms, but it was three floors up, about a mile and a half from anything. So every time I'll just pop down to the bar, good luck with that. You know, it was literally, I would guess it was around 3/4 of a mile walk. You were lucky that year, Stuart. You missed that. Because the year after, don't know how you got the great rooms the year after, they were fabulous. But we decided we wanted the ground floor. Because even the second year, they'd put like probably 5 or 6 rooms higher up. And you're like, well, if you had a choice, you'd surely have the ground floor. So we decided we wanted the ground floor. So we handpicked the rooms. Shame about the weather, eh, Stuart? You did much better than we did. My highlight of the weather was that we actually dragged the patio furniture into the room so we had enough chairs. Let's just say the weather was not such that we were going outside. But when Stuart organised it, it was fabulous. They will be losing lots and lots of money. But, you know, increasingly, the people, younger people, aren't particularly going to arrange an event at a golf club. So they're going to be people of a certain age. And whether they've got like, whether they would just prefer to use a lift, whether it would be easier to use a lift, or whether it's an absolute necessity to use a lift, the fact that there isn't one there is shocking. I mean, how many times have we said that, Stuart, about places where you need to go round the back and go, there's a secret entrance? Wasn't there a secret entrance at the Tie?
There was.
Which would have been, you should have taken me out that way, Stuart, because I didn't want to face them after Loindy had been sick. That was bad news. Yeah, I definitely needed something else for that. It just should just be a given these days. That's why the Octagon did it. They said that it was built of an era and it was no longer suitable for today's audiences. And yet they did have, it was not accessible. The toilets were shocking. But apart from that, it wasn't bad. It could have been better. But they make extra money by running extra events, and they were running it in another theatre that they had, the Bill Norton, which is at the end of a long, long corridor, and you get to it down some steps. So that's why they wanted to redo the whole thing. But they've done it with accessibility in mind, all kinds of accessibility, because they do wonderful productions with people who sign them, which is great. I mean, we went to one, didn't we? The David Lodge one was signed. Mm. It was lovely. It was lovely to see. I mean, I also went to one. I can't remember which one it was. Which was the play we went to see, Mike, where the woman had the voiceover going on? We were on the front row on the right-hand side, the two seats at the front. I've got a sneaking suspicion it was one Russell was in.
Can't remember.
Oh, gosh. Was it Hindle Wakes? But I remember it because this woman had the commentary on. Oh boy, was
no,
it loud.
It was Hamlet.
Was it Hamlet?
It was Hamlet.
Well, we sat in the same seats.
I'm sure it was Hamlet.
Yeah, it probably could have been Hamlet then. But we got chapter
because I was listening to the match. It was much more entertaining than Hamlet.
Mike did not enjoy Hamlet. I loved Hamlet. Mike did not enjoy it quite so much. But I could have done with her turning it down a bit. Sun Shines on the Righteous does it, Stuart. I shall remember that. You can book next time then. They're looking for a president next year. Are you not up for it? There you go. Opportunity. We went to the courthouse in Knutsford. We had to go in via the kitchen. Oh, that was a shocking place. Was that the night Knutsford's St George's night
a
couple of years ago? That was shocking. Do you remember the DJ? God, did he love himself. I nearly broke my neck there, Stuart. We went up to dance, and you know how tall it was. But that's another point. That is another point. Why should you have to go up a step to dance? And this wasn't a step. This must have been about 18 inches. Well, it was bad enough getting up there, Stuart, but after I'd bopped for a bit, and I then went to the edge, I realised getting up was the least of my problems. How was I getting down? I don't think there are any steps. That was bad news. That was a really bad night overall, to be honest. They did not have things sorted, Stuart. Definitely. Do you remember the table decoration? It was like a Grecian urn that was about 6 foot tall with some huge flowers sticking out the top. And we were dashing around it, you know, looking. And in the end, Jed called the waiter over and said, "Can you move this?" That's another thing about putting flowers on the table, isn't it? Aha! Mm-hmm. Yes. You've got to think it's not too tall and not too wide. If you are ever asked to be in charge of something, do think twice.
I didn't flowers. Know that one, Stuart.
Yeah, that was mentioned, hence him turning up late. How far away was it, though? I remember it being quite a distance. And then he didn't know what he was going to play. But the laugh of it was, who was that guy that... Was it Tom who organised it?
Yeah, Tom Hughes.
Because he absolutely adored him. And I said to Mike, "Does this guy think he's Will I Am?" And I said, "You think he's Will I Won't?" He was terrible. Mm. He just wanted to play his own music. And, you know, he was clearly into a certain kind of music that the audience were not really into. So it took quite a while to warm up that night. But, yeah, that's one I remember. Another reason I remember it, I think it was... Pam and Jed took Bruce and Carol, and they'd said like they wanted to start going to more events. That was not the best event to introduce them with, was it, Stuart? He'd used a sat nav and he was 30 minutes away. Now you see, our DJ didn't have that problem, did she? Oh no, she was there at 9:30 in the morning, blowing up balloons. I seem to recall endlessly, and trying to hide a cake. Because Stuart and Ellen came down early to this one, and I said to Mike, "Do not let anybody in." So Mike heads off to get something and bumps into Stuart and Ellen, and Mike just went, "Don't go in, don't go in." No, because I had Ellen's birthday cake on a table. That would not have done. That needed to be a surprise. Because you can see the sheer joy on Ellen's face in the photos. couldn't be done, not without that cake, it couldn't. Had to be done. Oh, Jonathan would love to sign. I've got a few things that I can sign because we have a friend who runs a home. Is it a home? They live there, don't they?
Yeah.
And I think many of them...
I'll sign for you, Johnny.
Many of them are deaf. And he taught me a few things. So I can do thank you and you're welcome. And other useful phrases like, it's bullshit. That's a good one to know.
I'll sign for him. I'll put best wishes, Mike Thomas.
No, Mike. No, we're past that, Mike. You see, we're talking about righteousness now. There is an easier language, isn't there? Is it Macron? Macon? Macton? Is it Macton? Bullshit's a really good one to have, I'm telling you. Very, very useful. I think it's with a K. Is it Macaton? Macaton. And it's signs and symbols to help people communicate, but it's not quite fully fledged British Sign Language. But it's a lot easier, and there's loads of stuff that you can get on it, Jonathan, on YouTube. So you'd certainly have some basics. If you actually watch, here's a question for Jonathan. Do you watch Strictly? Is he going to be prepared to admit that he watches Strictly? But if you watch Strictly... you will see certain of the dancers and the contestants making a sign when the camera pans over to them, and they're saying thank you. They're saying the words thank you, but they're also taking their right hand and putting the fingers of their right hand underneath their chin, and then kind of moving it forwards in a gesture of putting their hand out, and that is thank you. And to do that in reverse means you're welcome. So you hold your hand out. Right hand out flat, fingers forward, and then tip it back towards your chin, and you're saying you're welcome. So there's two for you. But if you notice on Strictly, they do that. And some people were saying on Twitter it was really nice to see them doing it. It makes it inclusive. And I know, wasn't it Marcus Rashford learnt sign language? to give out some awards a couple of weeks ago?
Don't know.
Oh, you've missed that one, Mike. Mm. Look at Marcus Rashford and sign language. Marcus Rashford. I don't know if it's sign language or this Makaton. There you go. He learns sign language for a poetry competition.
Yeah.
There you go. Oh, it's in the Express, so it must be true. And there's a video there. Yeah. Oh, good grief. Look at the state of that. What a URL. But yes, he did. He learnt that as well. So there's scope to do that, Jonathan. There you go. You think they'd have a universal sign language. And I noticed, Kim, you know that programme we both watch, Grey's? Anthony knows how to sign a penguin. I'm concerned. In Grey's, where that the doctor was using sign language, it said one of the biggest differences was that in America, they use a single hand. And in the UK, we use two a lot. And I realised watching that lady that she was very quick. But she seemed, and another one that somebody did it in was Chicago Med. And they had, do you watch Chicago Med? It's the charge nurse who came in and she could sign. But again, it seemed, it was very, very fast. And it seemed to be predominantly one hand. The website that Jonathan put up, the sign of the day was penguin. Brilliant. I'll go and learn penguin. Oh, Kim was watching Vera last night and they were using two hands. We predominantly here do. You see a lot of sign language on news broadcasts, but not as much as in America. You seem to have, at a press conference, you seem to have a person live signing it. The BBC had to put one of their signers in like a float over on the top of the UK press conferences because they didn't have one. But the Scottish press conferences did. So we see quite a bit of signing, but it's actually quite difficult to follow. And it always seems to be very slow. When you watch an American sign, it's as if they're going at like triple speed. And you can tell certain words as you're watching the news, and they seem to be like 10 minutes behind, which is quite off-putting. Ah, there you go, penguin. That actually, most kids can do penguin, can't they? Brilliant. I know we have a Catanian lady called Margaret who does Makaton, and she's brilliant at it. She also lip reads. So it would be a nightmare going out to a social event, wouldn't it, with a mask on? Mm. Unless you'd got one of those with the transparent things in, which again we saw on Grey's. So Anthony says, I know with Braille there's different variations for science, maths and music. Oh, that's interesting, isn't it? I guess there'd have to be, because you know, you could do use a word in one context or use it in a different context. Aren't we all glad that the sign of the day wasn't a Prince Albert? Just saying. That could get very naughty. No, I think it'd be lovely to sign. Jonathan, do you remember... what's his name? Mark Dalton. Used to have a podcast called The Tech Lounge. He's doing signing. He's apparently there's different levels. He started about 4 years ago. And I think after about a year, he took a test in it and he got like level one. Then he passed his level two and I think he's working on his level three now. I don't know if it's because he knows somebody and he needs it or if it's just something that he wants to do. But he's certainly very, very serious about it and has been doing it for a good number of years. Yeah, maybe have a word with him. He does tweet about it occasionally, but probably more often than not on Facebook. But I know he's doing it, so he may have some advice for you. There you go, Jonathan. There's nothing you can ask for that we can find something on. Apart from what we're going to do about Kim and the fact that the prices of these things are various. One other option you could try, Kim, let's not give up on this yet because we've got different prices in the UK. Maybe open it and leave it or whatever and then open it in an incognito tab and keep trying. Because there'll be some kind of thing, cookie written back. And I don't think that will move from the price that you've been offered. But I do think it's ludicrous that so far tonight we've seen three different prices, irrespective of where we are. Absolutely not on. Try it in Edge. Try in 6 hours or so and try in an incognito tab and just see if it's a bit less. They're obviously running some kind of A/B testing on it. Which I think's ludicrous. I think if you were offered the minute, I told you I paid $79.95, but that was dollars. And back then, we probably had a reasonable exchange rate. But it certainly wasn't as cheap as $59.99, and that will include local tax. So, not so. Keep trying. You wonder if this is for more than one machine. What do you mean, if you've got a license, can you install it on more than one machine? As far as I can remember, yes, you can. It's not... let's have a look in 1Password and have a look at it. As far as I can remember, it's just a serial number. Now 1Password's acting up on me. Doesn't help when your password to get back in is as long as your left leg and you've mistyped it. Let's try again. Go on. Yes, I'm in. Right. View scan. No, the license key is just a few numbers. So it's nothing complicated or activated or anything like that. So you should be able to install that on as many machines as you want. I don't think you'd need to pay for more than one license. I mean, they're already giving you a lifetime license. I don't think you would need that. I have a note to myself here. I have no idea when that arrived. But they used to have another app called Viewprint. And what I've got a note to myself here is that the serial number to use is a different one. So at some point, they've replaced my serial number in the last 14 years. And I've got a note to myself, if I'm using an older version, then I need to use the original serial number. And then I've put the serial number. So no, it's not activated. You could install that as many times as you like, but don't tell them, obviously. No, you should be good with that. I don't think there's actually another scanning app that is even comparable with it. Most of the others seem to be either an add-in that hooks into something like DevonThink or a dedicated app. And when I tried a dedicated app, which was one of these old flatbed scanners, it wasn't all there. But ViewScan is by far the best. Oh, hang on, there was one and I can't remember what it's called. Let me go into 1Password and see if I actually own it. Let's try searching for Scan or Scanner. Mac Scan. When was that bought? 2010. ViewScan, Mac Scan. No, there was one other app, but I remember trying them both and I went for ViewScan. And ViewScan has been around for years and years and years. Website's been updated, full works. So it's not like that Pear Note, poor Jonathan, that hasn't been updated in years. They bring out updates at least twice a month. And that's to keep up to date with the scanners that are coming in as new scanners and also scanners that previously didn't need it, but now have gone out of support, and then they will add in that as well. So it's updated really regularly. It is worth the cost. It's just annoying when you're seeing the wrong price up there. But I think we've sorted everything out today, haven't we? A bit of a laugh there. You've all had a legal lesson in at least three different areas of the law. And Stuart's been apprised of the Crown and Collins, and I'm assuming you'll be sharing that with your good lady, Stuart. She'll be thrilled. And don't forget, if you want some music playing on Saturday, get in early. Because we've got loads already, haven't we? Which is good.
We have.
Which is we good.
Indeed.
Right. We are, if you've noticed on the calendar, we're going live again tomorrow. Oh, we're not giving up on this yet. It will be episode 106 tomorrow. Now, what you need to be thinking about is what you would maybe like me to cover on Friday. Don't all shout the D word. I know. I'm trying to seriously think how best to do this. But we will be doing DevonThink. We will. I just need to sit and have a think about how best to do it. If you want to send me in the meantime constant reminders about doing DevonThink, tell me what you're using it for or what you would like to use it for or in what way you wished it worked. And then I'm good solving problems and finding workarounds. So you give me information and then I will be able to sort out a session that addresses all of those issues. You were worried we were going to stop marooned. Will it come to an end at some point? No. What we did was we have a system, as you well know, and we have it in Notion. And as you saw, Jonathan, there's Mac Bytes in there. for 2021. Not kidding either. So we're organised. So what we do is we put the marooned episodes in batches. And obviously the last time we did a batch of them was probably about 3 weeks ago. And situation is changing daily, so you've no idea what's going to happen. But I think we can safely say now we're just on the cusp of a second wave. So I don't see why we can't throw another week in and see how we go. So it wasn't on the calendar. It is on the calendar now until next Saturday. But if you ever do get fed up of it, then just let us know and then we can pull the plug. But while you're enjoying it, we'll carry on. You're going to have your dinner with me. Oh, good. Become part of the household routine. Excellent. And we can always find something to talk about, can't we? Just imagine, you're now virtually you're halfway to a legal O-level. You could sit your lower O-level next year, probably, with what you've just learned. That's enough. As long as you've got Dudley and Stevens, you're probably good to go. Probably good to go. But, as I say, we will be back tomorrow. So get your dinners ready. And I am the queen of the hack, aren't I, Kim? So I need to know. And you eat your lunch with us. It's great, isn't it? All from different time zones. We're all doing different things and enjoying it. You'll take a break for the honeymoon. It'll probably take a break for the... Oh, yes, yes, of course it will. Stuart. Oh, that was good with Pam, wasn't it? Pam was... They were all planning our wedding. Planning it for us, I might add. Mind you, the priest's been doing that for years and we're still escaping. But anyway, they were all planning it for us. So I just threw in a true little tidbit, which is we went to Gretna. So I put in the chat and we went to Gretna, Innocent Whistling. And they dived back and said, what? But I apprised them that we did leave still considering our options. It was all a bit tacky, wasn't it, Mike? Mm. I was expecting, you know, romance, and it was all a bit tacky. So we left as we arrived. So I think we can rule Gretna out, let's just say that. But the ladies are getting very excited. But you know where they're going wrong, don't you, Stuart? Inviting me to go shopping. You see, that's the first thing. The minute you do that, I'm gone. Mike can go shopping for a frock if he wants, but, you know, not me. Not happening. Paul's been organising his mornings around marooned. Hey, as long as we're all keeping happy. Never mind all this lockdown malarkey and things going on. In fact, it's very strange here today. There's not many people out. We think we're on the cusp of a second wave in Leicester, Bournemouth, Manchester around the raves and Liverpool, who were celebrating a win of some description. Not sure what. Only a small thing. But yeah, the scientists are going crazy and the government don't particularly want to tell us what the R rate is. So are we all going out next week? And my answer is no. No, I'll be here enjoying myself with you guys. Somewhere in Scotland could be very romantic. It could be, but not Gretna. It's not Gretna. That Gretna has this reputation because it was the first town that you could get married in across the border. And you may wonder, well, why would people go to Scotland? And that was because this comes from family law in the UK. And this is still the case. If you want to get married and you are between 16 and 18, so you are either 16 or 17, you need your parents' consent or a court order. You would have to go to, if your parents say no, you would need a court order that would allow you to get married. However, in Scotland, as long as you have resided there, and the old rule used to be for 12 hours, you could get married at 16 without parental consent. And that is why Gretna is a thing. I see Jonathan must have found the only lovely hotel in Gretna. Because we kind of looked and thought, oh dear, oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. See, Stuart's plotting now. He's plotting with Kim here. Are you looking at this? He's plotting with Kim. Thing is, we do love Scotland. So I'll leave you contemplating that. Ooh, we've got a link to Jonathan's hotel. It sounds like Jonathan is in cahoots with Stuart and Kim here. It will happen, but obviously it'll have to be an international thing where everybody's invited or nobody. There you go. And we didn't like the Gretna thing, so we'll have to see how it goes. Ellen would probably get involved, wouldn't she, Stuart? She'd probably be hair and makeup and sparkle. Sparkle queen. Ellen would sort it out. At least she wouldn't make me go dress shopping because she would know the answer to that. I don't do dress shopping. At all. They threatened me with dress shopping for 18 months. I blame you for that, Stuart. You've got to have a ball gown. Do I look like I wear a ball gown? I'm a tomboy. I don't wear ball gowns. In the end, because Nina was going on and on and on, you might notice this, Stuart, the frock wasn't black, which is my thing. I like black. I'm like Steve Jobs, just wear black. But the dress was not black. I also didn't go shopping for it. Amazon's an amazing thing. Really did. Start looking for a hat. Okay, fair enough. But for the moment, we're going to say goodnight tonight. So it's goodnight from me.
It's goodnight from me.
And we'll both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.